This presentation is brought to you by iAwaken.org, a not-for-profit organization. We hope you enjoy the presentation. Please observe the copyright terms to which you have agreed.
Evil, but he didn't do all the good that he should have done either. There was a flaw. So we'd have to remember the two, those two views. And his sons and daughters in the fourth pasuk, in the fourth verse, went and they used to make a party once a year or whenever it was. Each day a different one. They have seven sons, so on Sunday one would make the party, on Monday the other one, on Tuesday the other one. They would invite the daughters to join. And Eve used to worry that in all the celebration maybe an impure thought crossed the minds of one of his children. And so just in case, he would bring sacrifices for each one of them, worried that maybe something wrong was done. Again, this fits in with Rashi's view, worried that something wrong was done. And Eve's whole emphasis, according to Rashi's view, was making sure that nothing wrong is done. Even if nothing right is done, but nothing wrong should be done, that's for sure. Whereas according to the Malbin, it's not that restricted at all. On the contrary, this gives an example of the extent to which Eve worried about the distant possibility that maybe a thought crossed the mind, not of himself but of his children, and he's responsible for that because he brought them up. Look at what a parent he is. He regards himself as responsible for a thought that might have flicked through the minds of one of his children during the time that they were having the party, and for that he holds himself responsible and he brings sacrifices to atone for them. Then in the sixth verse comes this amazing episode. And it was on a particular day that the Bnei HaElokim came, the sons of God, which we translated as the angels, the spiritual forces, came and stood before God. And the Satan himself also appeared among them. What is this all about? The first principle that we need to understand here, we need to do a little bit of mysticism here. We need to do a little bit of Kabbalah. Simon, you ready? Good. Every material object or force, in other words, all matter and all energy in the world is controlled by a spiritual master force. Okay, there is an energy that controls every bit of matter and every, I don't know what you call it, a measure of energy. What do they measure energy in? Joules. Every joule of energy of any, whatever form it takes. All energy and all matter is governed by a spiritual force. In fact, matter and energy is a material manifestation of that spiritual force. And just as matter and energy can be converted one to the other, a fact which poor old Einstein only discovered a couple of years ago, but the Torah knew 5,000 years ago, and that you can look at a piece of matter and say, but this is really energy. And you can look at energy and say, but this is really matter. So it works with the spiritual and the material world. You look at a table, you're really looking at a spiritual energy, which here takes the form of that table. That's the way it manifests itself here. And you can call the spiritual energy whatever you want, Bnei Elokim, angels, you can call it whatever you want, it doesn't matter. But there is a spiritual force, a cognizant spiritual force, that is the source of all matter and all energy. And that is the Bnei HaElokim. When God controls the world, that's where He controls it. He has the controls there. And by directing all these different spiritual forces, there is a chain effect. Each spiritual force goes through a whole chain effect, which then manifests itself in a physical form of manifestation. So all these spiritual forces come before God. Now, the next thing to understand is, what is the difference? We're going to have to go a little bit deeper into the Kabbalah Simon. Is that okay? One step deeper? Okay. And that is, what the material element has that its spiritual counterpart does not. Okay, this is not a taste of the whole book. We're not going to be doing this all the time, but just here and there we need to know some principles. What a material object has that a spiritual its spiritual counterpart does not have is the capacity for deterioration. So what we do is we take a spiritual thing, and by mixing into that the capacity for deterioration, we make it material. Okay, that's what makes a thing material. If you remove the capacity for deterioration, it remains spiritual. So if you give a neshama, if you give the soul that extra dimension, or let's say you actually take away from it that measure of eternity, what you're left with then is a body. That isn't quite so, because the soul has an independent existence. Let's put it slightly differently. This table is really a spiritual force. But if you take out from that spiritual force the element of eternity, which leaves it capable of deteriorating, it turns into a table. And if you take another spiritual force and you take out that element, it turns into a mouse. And if you take another spiritual force and you take out that element, it turns into a cat. And so with all the different things that we have in the world, if you take the spiritual origin and you remove from it its power of eternity, it becomes material, it becomes matter. Because matter deteriorates. Spiritual things don't deteriorate. Okay, on the contrary, spiritual things improve and matter deteriorates. That's why we have a special relationship in Judaism with wine. Because wine reminds us of a spiritual element. Because up to a certain point, at least, wine improves with age. It's one of the few things that improve with age. It has a touch of spirituality to it. And that's why when it comes to matters of kedusha, to matters of sanctity, we use wine. We make kiddush on wine. And we perform kiddush in marriage on wine. It's a physical thing, and yet there's something about it that's a little spiritual. That is, that it improves with age, it doesn't deteriorate with age. And that's why once wine ceases to improve with age, it's no longer called wine. And that's why if wine has been boiled or pasteurized, if a non-Jew touches the wine, we can still use it. We have a law that if a non-Jew touches wine, we can't use it for certain sacramental reasons and so on. The reasons don't concern us right now. But if that wine is boiled and then a non-Jew touches the wine, there's no problem. Because the wine has ceased to mature at that point. And that special spiritual element of wine is there no more. It doesn't have that same kedusha. It doesn't have quite that same sanctity. That wine has. It's interesting, there are a few things like that, like wine, that we have a close attachment to. Now, I said to you that all matter and all forces has its spiritual counterpart. Simon, I'm afraid we have to go one step deeper. Can we do it? Do you think they can handle it? Are the women, I'm not worried about. Do you think the men will be able to handle it? The women I know will handle it. The question is the men. If all matter and all energy has a spiritual force, a spiritual power that governs it, what about the force of deterioration itself? That's also a force in the world. Is that the force of entropy? We talked about entropy that time. Did we say that was that same force? The scientists call it entropy. That force that blows things apart, that causes deterioration, that causes chaos, that's also a force. That force, that lack of spirituality, that lack of eternity, that which allows degeneration, that's also a force. And that force must also have its spiritual counterpart. What is the spiritual counterpart of that force, the force of deterioration? Its name is the Satan. That is Satan. When we talk about Satan, that's all we mean. And I'm sorry to have stripped Satan of all his magical appearance and all his romantic associations. That's all he is. The Satan is the spiritual force that governs the power of deterioration. In other words, if you remove the Satan from the world totally, then there would be no matter in the world. There would be no material in the world. If you remove the Satan totally, you would only have spirituality. If you only had spirituality, you would not have degeneration. If you didn't have degeneration, you would have no material, because material is, by definition, spirit without eternity. Take the spirit, remove the ingredient of eternity, and you've got matter. That power of removing the spirit of eternity is the Satan. That's Satan. That is the spiritual force that governs degeneration, that governs deterioration. Okay, now that's quite hard, but rather important. Does anybody need to ask anything on that? It's important that you understand this. For those of you who are planning to drop out this week, it's not so important that you understand it. But if you're going to carry on next week, it's quite important that you understand that. And that's why Chazal say, our rabbis tell us about the Satan. It says the Satan, Hu HaYetzahara. We talk about the Yetzahara. What is the Yetzahara? The same power. Except the Yetzahara is inside the human being. That destructive power, that degenerative power inside the human being, the human body. The human body deteriorates. Put the human body together with the soul, and you've got a Yetzahara. You've got conflict. You've got a soul that doesn't deteriorate, and a body that does deteriorate. And it's those two together that create all the conflict that goes on inside the human being. Because the body likes to feel eternal. It likes to feel that it's not deteriorating. Go to any chemist and see what they make most out of their money out of selling, and you'll realize that the body doesn't like deteriorating. And people pay a lot of money and spend a lot of time on trying to avoid the deterioration of their bodies. That's all part of the Yetzirah's business. And at least what the Yetzirah really does is, even if you can't stop the deterioration of the body, it at least doesn't want you to feel that you're deteriorating. And so one pursues all sorts of experiences to remind you that you're still alive. That's the Yetzirah. Whereas the soul doesn't need all that, because the soul doesn't deteriorate. The soul develops, the soul matures, the soul enhances itself. It doesn't need to chase all these things, because it feels confident in its eternity. The body feels insecure in its fatality, and it tries to substitute all sorts of reinforcements for that, for the fact that it's going to eventually die. That's the Yetzirah, Hu HaMalach HaMoves. That's the angel of death, Chazal says. All the same, the Satan, the angel of death, the Yetzirah, call it what you want, they are all the spiritual energy of the power of entropy. They are all the spiritual energy of that force which brings about the generation of deterioration in physical things and material things. There's an interesting Rashi. Let's just have a look at it. We'll go for another 5 minutes on this, and then we'll have the concept clear. Those of you who've got Rashi, at the end of Posuk Zayin, the Omru Razal, and our rabbis have said, Satan, l'shem shemayim niskaven. He had good intentions, like all wicked people. No wicked people have bad intentions. So, you know, sometimes people say, oh, but I meant well. Well, the answer to that has to be, but so did Hitler. Okay, everybody does things for good reasons. He meant well, he meant to save Germany. He thought it was God's will that he should wipe out the Jewish people. You very seldom come across a wicked person who means bad. So it's no, when somebody says, yeah, but he means well, don't be so harsh on him, he means well. That's no defense at all. We all mean well. Even Satan meant well, says Rashi. He also means well. Everybody means well. Kedei shelo yehe nishkach lifnei Elokeinu zechusoi shel Avrom. So that we should not forget, so that God should never forget, so to say, the greatness and the merit of Abraham, of Avram. The power of deterioration, if we apply it nationally, what happens then? If we say the Jewish nation, the Jewish people, are you turning me over there? If we take the power of deterioration and we apply it to the Jewish people, as a nation, are we deteriorating or not? The answer is yes, of course we're deteriorating as a nation. We don't have an Abram anymore, we don't have an Isaac, we don't have a Moses, we don't even have a Vilna Gaon anymore. We don't have a Rabbi Akiva, all our great people, we don't have them anymore. Each generation is a fraction in stature, in greatness, moral greatness. Of course, technologically we're getting very clever, we can work computers and we can do all sorts of clever things. But we need to understand that in the olden days, they could do just as much with their minds without computers. That's the difference. We think we're very clever because we can work computers. That's like a person who walks around and says, look how clever I am, I can walk on crutches. Look at me. You can't walk on crutches. Have you ever walked on crutches? I can walk on crutches. I'm much more advanced than you. What do we say? Never. I don't need to walk on crutches. That's the difference. We've got computers and we sit there and we fiddle and we twiddle. You look at some of the works of literature and of reasoning and of Torah that were produced without computers. And then you realize that all this is, all the technology is just a crutch to assist us in our inadequacies. But the earlier generations were far, far greater. It's true that we build greater ships today than they used to build 500 years ago. But the shipbuilders of 500 years ago were greater people. They were greater shipbuilders than the shipbuilders of today. They were greater artisans. They were more skilled. They could do things without machines that we can't even do with machines. We can't build pyramids today the way they did, with all our technology. What they could do without technology, we're struggling to do with technology. So even with all the technological advance, we must bear in mind that the principle of deterioration applies not only to individual people and to things and objects, but also apply to peoples with a capital P, to nations. There is also an inborn deterioration, which means there will never be anybody in Jewish life as great as Abram in certain areas. That we reached a pinnacle of faith and of service of God in Avraham that will never be repeated because of the principle of deterioration. And that, says Rashi, is part of Satan's function. That is part of the function of deterioration, to ensure that we're on a decline. Now, we haven't got time to discuss this evening why it is so critically important that we should be on a decline. But it is critically important for the divine plan that we should be on a decline. And Satan's function, and who is Satan again? Satan is the spiritual force that governs deterioration. His function is to make sure that we never exceed our forebears, that we never exceed in stature the levels of Avraham Avinu. So it all ties up as to where it's all going and what its purpose is. So God says, there we have these Bnei Elohim, all these spiritual powers come together to stand with God. And El Satan is there too, not as one of them, but he's there. And in verse 7, Hashem says to the Satan, Me'ayin tovoi, where have you come from? And the Satan answers God and he says, I don't come here from heaven. I don't come from this part of the world. Mishut bo'oretz u'mihishalech bo. I come from down there, from the physical world. I have no place in the spiritual world. Although I am a spiritual force, I am the spiritual force of matter. I am the spiritual force of the world down below. And next week, in Yirtzeh Hashem, we'll see how God takes that concept of the role of Satan and applies it to his understanding and to his vision of who Iyov is and of how Iyov lives. All of this, of course, is very important in laying the groundwork for the life tragedies that are going to befall poor old Iyov and the way that he chooses to handle them and to live through them. Before we end off, are there any major questions that we need to deal with that you need me to clarify? Yes, Simon. Will those bodies deteriorate?
Apparently not.
Right, so it won't be a physical world, as we know physicality today. Anything else? Yes. This, what is the spiritual power of regeneration, of growth? That's spiritual. Growth is spiritual. Spirituality. You start with spirituality. That's generation. Regeneration, there's no difference between regeneration and generation. The signs of God are generation. Okay, you don't need regeneration. There's generation and there's degeneration. And those two are constantly working against each other. Yes, sometimes after generation you've got degeneration, but it's the relationship between generation and degeneration, between spiritual and physical. And the movement backwards and forwards is what you're calling regeneration. It's like a pendulum that swings from one to the other. Yeah. Yeah, the Far Easterns call it yin and yang, yeah. What's the difference between resurrection and reincarnation? Not, I don't even know what each of them mean, never mind what the difference is between them. Yes, all we know is that there will be a time in the future where the pious dead, not everybody, the pious dead will be resurrected in a physically pure form. Regrettably, that's not going to be a problem. Yeah. Okay. Yes.
You mentioned the principle of deterioration and degeneration. Why is it that Abraham is held to be the highest level of, or the highest human being? Why not is Adam HaRishon?
In many ways, Adam was. In one particular way, Abraham was, and that was in the discovery and development of a fervent faith. Adam was born with faith. You know, Adam was born and God introduced himself to him and said, I'm God. And he said, yeah, I'm Adam. And that was it. You didn't have to develop a great deal of faith. But poor old Avram, he started with nothing and he developed it all himself. That self-development reached the highest level in Avram. There were many other areas in which there have been all sorts of different great people, but in that area, we've never reached that same kind of greatness. It's not possible for anybody to reach that level, that height of discovery of God. Yeah. Yes?
You mentioned that there were that the learned tradition of Abraham's progress.
I don't know the four. I would love to meet them. I don't know who they are. Who is? Do you know who they are? Who the tradition is of the four?
No,
I've never heard. Yeah, but it's not sinning in the sense of not in the sense of total perfection. It's in the sense of having coped with whatever they did do and coming out perfect. But it's not in the sense of never having done anything wrong in the entire life. That's a situation which is unrealistic, which is artificial. Is that not? He spiritualized his body. He actually overcame. We're coming on to that next week. So the power, the ability to overcome degeneration. Is it possible for the human being to overcome degeneration? That's an interesting subject for next week. Can we fight deterioration and old age? And if so, how? Yeah. That's part of it, that where the body becomes so spiritualized that the deterioration is slowed down or in some cases almost frozen. Of course, death itself is a deterioration. Old age and death is a deterioration, but it's not the same deterioration as others. Yes, absolutely. The speed of deterioration is a function of the degree of physicality. Okay, I think we'll leave it there and we'll carry on in this session next week.